Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight and study the word of truth. Lord, we thank you for the gospel, and that is that Jesus Christ died. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. We thank God for that good news. For the Bible said, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we thank you for eternal life because we believe in the gospel. We put our total faith and trust in your finished work at Calvary's cross. We thank you for your word tonight. We pray as those who listen in, we pray that they will be encouraged, that they will be enlightened as we study together, and they will be edified when we come from this study. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, tonight we're going to get into our study. Now, we've been going through scriptures. 2 Corinthians 6:10 says, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. We talked about rejoicing last week. As poor yet making many rich. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. Then we talked about Colossians 2:8, which says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. My brothers and sisters, Satan will use philosophy, church tradition, and secular wisdom to mislead us. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, my brothers and sisters, as in all the churches of the saints. And then Philippians 4:4, we talked about last week, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, let me say this tonight. My brothers and sisters, you take your eyes off Christ and you'll lose your joy. Christian joy is a barometer of your spiritual life. My brothers and sisters, never settle for a God. Never settle for a God who cannot comfort and strengthen you in a prison cell. In other words, when you are going through the sufferings for Christ's sake and even during the sufferings of this present time, what's your prison at this moment? Many have prisons that they're in tonight. Paul writes in Philippians 4:6-7. Philippians 4:6-7, the Apostle Paul writes, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And Paul said, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. What's got you chained tonight, my brothers and sisters? Is it this? Is it it's the world and all it has to offer? And what are you thinking in your day-to-day routine? What is your thought process? Is it your husband, the wife, the children, or your friends? What is it that have you shackled right now? In one of Jesus' very first public statements, he proclaimed that his primary mission was to set people free. Why then do so many Christians feel trapped in their relationships, their job, their daily routine, and life in general? Satan used all of these things to keep us shackled and our focus off the work of the ministry and the Word of God. Think about it. Think about all the different kinds of prisons we find ourselves in. There's a prison of guilt, which is quite often over something we should not feel guilty about. The prison of the past. Many of us carry enough emotional baggage to start our own luggage company. We had a prison of low self-esteem. Ended by having a false idea about who God made us to be. The prison of perfectionism, from which we make ourselves and everyone around us miserable because the standard is never met. The prison of fear, characterized by an undue feeling of distress about circumstances and reflected in an unwillingness to trust God and trust his word. the prison of rules. The false belief that if one lives by all the rules, everything will be fine. The list of prisons go on. And a few of us are free of the debilitating influence because many know what God's word says, and they trust in it, and they walk in it. Many people today are dealing with paralysis that is emotional and spiritual rather than physical. Usually they've been wounded during their life journey, either through the consequence of their own bad decisions or through the unjust actions of others. But not too many have been persecuted and treated unjustly for Christ's sake. Not too many have suffered for Christ's sake. Many are suffering greatly for not doing things God's way and not thinking like God and not laboring with God at what he's doing. That's godliness. Godliness is thinking like God, doing things God's way, and you're laboring with God at what he's doing, my brothers and sisters. Let me say this. Let me help someone that is trapped in the prison of their mind and let them know how to rejoice in the midst of their storms and their prison. Talk to God. We talk to everyone else but God. Sit down and commune with God and his word rightly divided. We sit and commune more with the television, the iPod, the telephone, gadgets, and many other things that have no eternal value, my brothers and sisters. That's what I want to say to you tonight. Paul writes in Philippians 4, 6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests may be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. If you want the best two verses about prayer in the dispensation of grace, they are Philippians 4, I believe, 6-7, where he says, be careful for nothing. My brothers and sisters, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Talk to God, my brothers and sisters, and let him know what's on your mind. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. The cares of this life, they can be overwhelming at times. Financial problems, illness, death of loved ones, and even the daily annoyances that can weigh us down in discouragement and misery. We grow careful, in other words, becoming worrisome and uneasy, worrying so much. God says, be careful for nothing, speaking to someone. No matter what you're facing in life, be anxious for nothing. If you are a member of the church, the body of Christ, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit to comfort you and guide you and strengthen you with the scriptures you study and believe. God would not deliver us from our problems, but we can thank him in prayer on a daily basis for giving us his wonderful grace and all those other provisions. We're going to have problems to the day we die. We're going to have the sufferings of the present time to the day we die. He has given us in Christ so that we can bear those temptations and problems. Read 1 Corinthians 10:13. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, brothers and sisters, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. When we look at life in this light, we can take comfort in the peace of God. And the joy we have in Christ will be perpetually under assault by Satan, by sin and temptation, by suffering, by life in a world still enslaved to corruption. if you read Romans 8:21. We need someone stronger than all those forces combined to guard what we have found in God. We pray, but not just any prayer. We just don't pray any kind of prayer. We pray, but not just any prayer. Do not be anxious about anything. In other words, God saying, sit back. I got this. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The kind of prayer that tortures anxiety and strengthens joy, presses on in gratitude. Paul brings these three together, joy, thanksgiving, and prayer, together again in another letter. He says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. A sure way to combat the enemies of our joy is to relentlessly give thanks to God for his grace. My brothers and sisters, when Christ says his grace is sufficient, he's saying when we have little and believe we have lost much, Christ comes and reveals himself as more valuable than what we have lost. And when we have much and are overflowing in abundance, Christ comes and he shows us that he is far superior to everything we have. So rejoice always in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Do not believe the lie that joy will only come when the clouds in your life finally clear and the sun shines through. Don't settle for a religion or a God that cannot promise joy even in the darkest, most difficult days. If you rejoice in the Lord, you never have to be without real happiness and joy that comes from Christ. When we get up from the table after a great meal, the last thing we should want is more food. Can you be tempted with another bite? My brothers and sisters, it's hard for Satan to tempt a joyful believer, my brothers and sisters, with the empty pleasures of this world when he has the right doctrine and is practicing it day in and day out. It's hard for Satan when that doctrine is stored in our inner man, rightly divided. A joyful believer is already more than satisfied in Christ. What more could he possibly want that he could possibly want? Make it a point to be satisfied in Christ so that you rejoice in the Lord. Always, and again, I say rejoice. If you only enjoy God when life seems good, you should follow Paul's joy he told us to have in Philippians. There you will find something more precious than gold, even much finer than gold, something sweeter than honey, and anything else you might enjoy in this life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I said rejoice. Satan, he's the master deceiver. He peddles counterfeit good news. He's the father of lies. Remember, my brothers and sisters, Satan is the father of lies. In John chapter 8, Jesus telling some Jews who their father were. John 8:44 said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye would do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode it not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan was the father of lies because he told the first lie when he told Eve, thou shalt not surely die. And he still is the father of lies. My brothers and sisters, know who you are in Christ. And always standing on the word of God, rightly divided. When Satan attacked Jesus' identity, he kept quoting scriptures because truth casts out lies and light casts out darkness. Jesus kept saying, it is written, and quoting scriptures. Jesus did not get defensive or coerced into an argument. Jesus, let the battle between the enemy of God and the Word of God, because that's a battle that the Word always wins. I hope you understand that tonight. Here are some examples that I tell you that Satan is using against saints today. Here are some examples of common attacks on the identity of believers by Satan, which are counterfeit lies seeking to undermine the truth of who God says his people are. Satan will tell you, you are worthless. He'll tell you, you're a failure. He'll tell you, you got what you deserve. You will never change. You are hopeless. You are disgusting. You are not a real Christian. God is sick of you. If people knew what you really, really, really like, they would all hate you. You are probably going to hell. You should kill yourself. These sorts of things are demonic. Our Father, our Lord and Savior, does not say things like this to any of his adult sons and daughters in Christ. Look at what Apostle Paul tells us to do. My brothers and sisters, when Satan is attacking you, hitting you from every angle, because you're standing on God's word. The Bible says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer persecution. My brothers and sisters, look at what Apostle Paul tells us to do. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what folks fall off at. They don't be bringing those imagination, that thoughts, those things they're thinking that's not of God, those things where Satan is coming in, and guess what? And he's feeding their minds. They're not bringing all those thoughts to the obedience of Christ, casting down imaginations. It appears in 2 Corinthians 10, which provides a defense of Paul's ministry as he is interacting with others in person and through letter. If you read 2 Corinthians 10, verses 7 through 11, in the middle of Paul's argument for the weapons of warfare that he utilized in his ministry is 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Right in the middle, Paul said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Paul is utilizing divine weapons, not weapons according to human standards or the flesh. And that's what many saints are falling today. They're trying to fight a spiritual battle with human weapons. My brothers and sisters, I tell you right now, you're defeated already. Paul is utilizing divine weapons, not weapons according to human standards or the flesh. Some in Corinth had accused Paul of walking according to the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10, 2, if you want to read that. To walk according to the flesh is to live independent of God and in hostility to him. Look at what Romans 8, 5 through 8 tell us. Look at what Romans 8, 5 through 8. For they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed it can be. So then they that are in the flesh, in that old nature, in that old Adamic nature, when you're walking in that flesh, you cannot please God. Paul tells us that living according to the flesh must be eliminated, as it leads to death. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We should live in dependence on God, yielding to the Spirit, resulting in obedience to Him. Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. With Paul's teaching on the sinfulness of living according to the flesh, the magnitude of the accusation against Paul becomes apparent. For this reason, Paul takes time in 2 Corinthians to defend himself against such an accusation. Paul tells the Corinthians the war he fights is being waged with divine power. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-4, and weapons of divine origin. These are not fleshly weapons. The war he is discussing is a war of the mind. In just verses 4-5, Paul addresses speculations or imaginations of pretensions, the knowledge of God and thoughts, all of which occur in the mind. Paul's action in this war are casting down imagination, taking thoughts captive, destroying systems of Satan and his policy of evil raised against God, and demolishing arrogant philosophies contrary to the knowledge of God. All of these things involve the mind. It seems clear that Paul is describing a war of the mind. Tragedy some people overlook the demonic, and they think they are saying awful things to themselves. They wrongly. Let me say this again, and this is what's happening. Tragically, some people overlook the demonic and think they are saying awful things to themselves. They wrongly assume negative self-talk and a low self-image when the truth is they are under attack. This leads to self-loathing. And what is self-loathing? Self-loathing, which is the feeling that we can't do nothing right, or you see yourself as a failure, and that leads to guilt. And that's what many Christians are dealing with tonight. And the path continues to go downward from there. You're a prison, my brothers and sisters, in your mind. Even worse, some people confuse the demonic message as a word from God. Oh, you're walking in dangerous territory right now. Satan is so tricky that he will try to get you to believe that his attack is actually from our Heavenly Father. Apostle Paul urges us in 2 Corinthians 2:11. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. When a person is saved by believing the gospel of the grace of God, which is that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, that believer in Christ, by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit, admits the folly of the old way of thinking and discover Christ to be the wisdom of God. Ain't nothing but folly and devastation in that old way of thinking. 1 Corinthians 1:24. 1 Corinthians 1:24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Let us then study, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures rightly divided. 2 Timothy 2:15. Understand God's will and attain the knowledge of God. Then we can cast down imaginations that are contrary to the knowledge of God. We can maintain freedom from the empty philosophies of man, and we can remain loyal to the word of God, rightly divided. Let us continue to walk according to the Spirit. Romans 8:5-6. Romans 8:5-6. What we just talked about. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. My brother, sister, war of the mind is being waged, and Paul has revealed proper actions to take. You're dealing with a counterfeiter tonight. So many folks don't know that Satan gave you a counterfeit good news. Satan, he's the master counterfeit. The goal of a counterfeit is to make a version of it, and that is not genuine, but has been made to look genuine in order to deceive people. So many have been deceived tonight, and they don't even realize it. Are you worshiping idols? So many don't realize there is a form of idolatry prevalent today, coming from Satan and his satanic policies of evil and his counterfeit system. Its growth is fostered by cultures that continue to drift away from sound biblical teaching. Just as the Apostle Paul warned us, he said, look at what Paul warned us. I wish people would read their Bibles. Look what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come, talking about saints, believers, when they will not endure sound doctrine. In this present evil world, many cultures have, to a large degree, they have redefined God. And a lot of folks don't even realize it. They have forsaken the God revealed to us in the Holy Bible and have recast him to comply with their own inclinations and desires, a kinder and gentler God who is infinitely more tolerant than the one true God of the Holy Bible. That's why you see Satan counterfeit system even in marriage. And now it's being accepted by so many. Even believers are falling prey, my brothers and sisters. Satan will tell you, this is how Satan works. Yes, there was a marriage in the Garden of Eden between Adam and Eve. Sure it was. But you know, God is a God of love. So you two men, you can get married also. And you two women, you can get married also. Because it's all about love. And how many done failed tonight. Satan and his satanic powers of evil have created gods that are less demanding and less judgmental. And who, in other words, you can have it all. You can have it all. Any kind of way. They don't even discern no more, my brothers and sisters. And who would tolerate many lifestyles, like I just said. As this idolatry is propagated by churches around the world, many congregants believe they are worshiping the one true God of the Holy Bible. They've been deceived and they don't even realize it. However, these made over gods are created by man, and to worship them is to worship idols. Worshiping a god of one's own making is particularly tempting for many whose habits and lifestyles and drives and desires are not in harmony with the Word of God. So you're going to make you some. And Satan was like, you know what? I help you make you some. That's going to fit your lifestyle. These things of the world would never fully satisfy the human heart. They were never meant to. The sinful things deceives us and ultimately leads only to death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The good things of this world are good things from God, meant to be enjoyed with a thankful heart in submission to him and for his glory. But when the gift replaces the giver, or the created replaces the creator in our lives, we have fallen into idolatry. Let me say that again. When the gift replaces the giver, or the created replaces the creator in our lives, we have fallen to idolatry, and no idol can infuse our lives with meaning or worth or give us eternal hope. My brothers and sisters, counterfeiting has a single purpose. It is simply to create something as similar to the original as possible and to do it by means of some shortcut. Satan is a counterfeiter. My brothers and sisters, and not only is he attacking God's word and God's messenger basket, but he's also focusing on other godly areas. And we're going to get into that next week. My brothers and sisters, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray as those who listen in, we pray that by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit, through your wonderful word, that they were enlightened, that they were encouraged, and that they were edified. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.